Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis, and we're holding the Halakha Mishnah that we already did, basically, the first half or so of the daf. It was certainly past the first third, so. My crazy iPad is acting up again.
Oh my gosh. I'm just laughing because the computer says that the Yankees are holding at the top of the first.
The visiting team is batting in the top of the first. The Yankees didn't come to bat yet, but we're listening to the dump, so no more interruptions.
Okay, Mike.
Language is speaking.
Ein pochatina taner mipnei shu osek li. ואין עושים פחמים ביום טוב, ואין חותכין את הפתילה, רבי יהודה אומר, חותכה באור. So now we're going on to consider the various issues that may be usable and important for Echol Nefesh, which includes, of course, light that I need to see with in order to be able to do things, which is one of the things that we have over here. And so the question is, there are a number of things that we might have to do to get some light. Now this idea is a lot of different pshat. Rashi's pshat is like this. Ein pochatina taner means that you can't take raw material, which is clay, that they used to make these little shape of these little eggs. You take the clay, and yes, Rabbanea, but thank you. Yes, but that doesn't help here. So you take the raw clay. Barnea, come on. Get to it. You take the raw clay and you take your thumb or your fist, depending how big it is, and you stick it in, which pushes the clay down and forms the lamp. So you're not allowed to hollow it up. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns, as we'll see because of various serious issues in the sugya, that it's talking about taking out the pieces that you put inside of straw and things like that, which you put in before you fire it up in order to make sure that it doesn't start collapsing around the edges. And then when you take out that filling, so then you're basically completing the nair. Rambam learns that it's talking about where you have a number of connected nairot and you need to break them apart in order to have separate nairot. Now that's a very interesting one, because of its implication for nowadays yogurts that are sold in pieces of four, right? So then that would be exactly this case. It's very fascinating because, again, it's so strange, like where things come up in the Sugya and the Gemara. Like who would have thought we'd be talking about yogurt packages that are connected on top? Anyway, so the way the Rambam is learning, the Pashtus, that's the case over here. Now, it turns out to be very interesting. This is because of the issues of the sugya that we're going to have, as we'll see. So according to Shlomo Zalman, he paskin that there was no problem in breaking apart the yogurt containers, even though Rabbi Yashu was machmir. But he said that there's no problem breaking them apart, because they're obviously separate. You can see that they're separate. They're only held together with that little piece on top. And therefore, you're not making a separate kli. And that's just in order to make them easier to sell. But it's not, obviously, it was not made that way in order to achieve any other end. Furthermore, and this is an issue, this part was added by his son. But furthermore, as we're going to see in our sugya, that the type of connections that are called mustiki. So mustiki actually relates to mastic as well, which is gum connections. So the type of junky connections, they would use tar or wax or things like that to do what the little aluminum pieces do today, are not considered to be really kalim because of the fact that they're not held together properly. And therefore, you wouldn't be doing anything. Okay, but all of this comes out from our singer. She's really cute. And there are other pshatim as well. We'll take Rashi's pshat, because that's he runs through it the entire sugya, but I think we'll see why we've got some problems. You cannot make charcoal. So obviously making briquettes are useful, but the Gemara is going to ask what exactly we're going to use these briquettes for, because, I mean, but pashtas, the briquettes are used for when you're working on metal, and that you put them into the metal furnace and so on. So we'll see that in the Gemara. And you cannot cut a wick into two to give you two wicks. And Rebuta says, well, you could. If you cut it with a flame, then you can cut it. But that doesn't really make sense, as Gemara's going to point out. Because what's the difference if you cut it with a knife, and that's considered to be making a kli, or if you cut it with a flame? So, I mean, I understand that if you use like a soldering iron or something, what's the difference? Bottom line is, you're making two ptilot, all to be explained in the Gemara. So let's take the first thing. Who is the Mandi Amar that says that sticking your finger into that clay is considered to be making a kli? Now, Rashi understands the problem is that since it has not been put into a kiln, so it's never been fired up, right? So is there a shita that holds that it's considered to be a kli, despite the fact that it isn't yet fired up? And just making the shape is sufficient. So, Omer of Yosef, Rabbi Meir. It's going a little bit of Rabbi Meir. Where did we see Rabbi Meir holds that that's considered to be a kli? D'tanya. Kli cheres be'imatay mekabel tumah. At which point does it become a kli to be mekabel tumah? Mishenigmara melachto. Mishenigmara melachto means, divrei Rabbi Meir, when its shape has been completed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. It's only mishiyitzrafu bekivshan. It's only when you actually put it in to be fired up in a kiln. So apparently, Rabbi Meir holds that it's considered to be a kli even before it went through the firing process. Now, as Tosis points out, this is really very problematic. Because, I mean, all of us, we learned Masechet Kelim, and we know perfectly well that clay adama is not considered to be a kli to be mekabel tumah, right? And if it hasn't been fired yet, so then it's not considered to be kli cheres. It's still called kli adama. So how could we possibly learn, like Rashi's pshat, that me'ematai mekabel tumah, from the time, according to Rabbi Meir, the way Rashi's learning, before it was ever fired? So this is why Tosfos changes the entire understanding, and says it's not talking about shaping, it's talking about that piece inside when it was removed after putting it in the kiln. Okay. This, well, as I said, we'll continue on with Rashi's trap, but it's evident what the issues are. Omele Abaye, I don't know where you see from here that Rabbi Meir would hold that it's considered to be a siyas kli l'gabi yontev in this case. Because, Dilma adkan lo kom Rabbi Meir asim, l'chosi l'kabuli b'mide. Listen, over there he's talking about kalim. Kalim is like it's something large. It's maybe a bowl of some kind. And this bowl, even if it hasn't been fired up yet, right, it could still hold something like, I don't know, peaches or something. But a lamp is like a little thing. So tell me what you're going to do with it. You're going to put in oil in it? And the oil is going to, you know, if it hasn't been fired, the oil is just going to mush up the whole thing, and it's completely useless. So what would make it a kli b'chlal? So here, Lamai Chazi answers the Gemara, what do you mean? It makes a perfect toothpick holder, doesn't it? That's not really what the Gemara says, but it does, doesn't it? So the Gemara talks about it's good for holding pennies. Okay, so if you want like a piggy bank, your piggy bank could be pretty primitive. So even that, it's useful. You're right, you can't use it for a liquid. Ikudiyam, right? Now others say that what Rabbi Yosef answered was not that it's going a libid Rabbi Meir, but that Rabbi Yosef says it's going a libid Rabbi Eliezer but Rabbi Tzadok. The Tanan, because the Mishnah in Idya says that if you have ilfasin charaniot, tohorot be'olamit. Now these ilfasin are basically there, again, this is Rashi's approach. Rashi understands that referring to these flat plate-like things, but they don't have any kind of base kibble. So what you do is initially you just make like a flat shape. Then later on you put something on it to make like a small place to turn it into a flat plate. And then you put it into the fire. So since this is choronio, this means that they're in the boonies, is what the Gemara will explain later on. Choronio means people who live out in the middle of nowhere. So they don't really care very much about the fancy aesthetics of the plate. He would use this, even if it was just a piece of flat clay. This is again how Rashi understands. Again, Tosfos says that's crazy, because again, it cannot be that it wasn't fired, because it wasn't fired. So then how in the world could it ever be Mekabel Tuma? Then it would just be Kli Adama. So Tarsus, again, has a completely different shot. He understands that the Ilfasim Charoniot actually do have a base kibble, but it is covered. What they do is they pull the clay apart so that the middle of it is fired, hardens into like a shape of a bowl-like shape in the middle. But until you crack off the top part, it's basically not anything but almost flat. And in the villages, in the boondocks, they would use it like that because they didn't care if it was fancy or not. That's how Tosfos understands it. Okay. But in any event, according to this pshat, they're tohar ba'ol ha'meit, and the reason they're tohar ba'ol ha'meit is because it says in the pasuk, kol kli patuach. But a kli patuach means that it has to have a place where it can be closed or open. So obviously, if it's a flat place, it's not a kli patuach. According to Tosfos, the point is, since it's got this part over it, it's considered to be the equivalent of sealed with its summit patil, because until you crack off the top, so Tuma can't get into it. Fine. Again, everybody's got, but the approach, the essential approach in terms of how it fits into the Mishnah makes sense. Utmeyot b'masa azav. Nonetheless, if a zav carries it, it will become tummy. Why? Because even if he doesn't have a tumas maga, he has a tumas heset. So basically, there's no din of tumas maga, but there is a din of tumas heset, and there is no din of kli patuach legabe a tumas heset. Which again, Tosfos says that's not true. As you remember from Kalim, anything which is not shaykh to Tuma be'ol ha'meis is not shaykh to Tumas Hesed. So how do you explain that? So Tosfos therefore says the problem in the ol ha'meis is only the fact that it's covered, because it's like a tzamit pasil, the fact that you didn't remove the top. But it's certainly the type of kli that can become tzamit be'ol ha'meis. And that therefore, the issue is, until you remove the top, it's going to be tor be'ol ha'meis. But it will still be tzamit be'masa hazav, obviously, because Tzomit Pasil is not Matzil from Masa. It's not Matzil Beheset. Rabbi Eliezer by Rabbi Tzadok Omer. No, they're even Torah to Masa. You know why? Because you didn't finish their shape. Lefi shelo nigmar melachtan. Now what that means is that if you would have finished shaping them, again, according to Tosfos, this is shaping after firing in the kiln. According to Rashi, this is shaping them before firing in the kiln. So that's how he's learning that it fits into the Mishnah about the lamps, where you stick your thumb into it to make it. Okay, so the mashmaut is that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, even if you hadn't fired it, according to Rashi, it would still be considered to be a kli, to be mekabel tuma. Amalei Abaye. Again, in this version, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, I do not see that you can necessarily derive from Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok's din over there to the din in our Mishnah, because I can't look on Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. It's basically the same issue. He only said that about these ilfasin charoniot, which are quite large. So since they're large, there's plenty of things you can put in them. But here, what are you going to do with this little egg-like thing that you stuck your thumb into? There's nothing to do with it, because you can't put liquids into it without it's getting mushy. So what good is it? And again, the Gemara answers, for a toothpick holder. So again, it's for the coins. Turn her up on it. In the bright, it says, Ein pochatina taner, ve'ein osin ilfasin charaniot b'yomtav. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is matir, the ilfasin charaniot. He says that it's not considered to be a kli at all. So what are you doing wrong by taking just a piece of basically kli, of clay, I mean, and to just make it flat, that you should be able to eat off of it? What are you doing wrong? Obviously, the Tanakama is going aliba, the Tanakama that we had in the Mishnah before, that you're not allowed to even take off the avira de livne. So, l'chatchila, even though it's not a diraisa, but you can't do that even when it comes to, it was Rabbi Meir said you could, but even when it comes to getting out the cereal boxes from the Avira de Livne, you weren't allowed to do that. What's this lotion of charoniot? Omer of Yuda, well, charoniot are iraniot. Oh, that's great. That's really ironic. What in the heck are ironiot? So my iraniot, Oh, Amrabai, that means tsaychaklayata. It means like people out in the farms, in the boondocks. That's the way they would eat, to have these very, very simple plates. The next thing in the Mishnah we said was, ein osin pechamim. Obviously, what he was supposed to use charcoal briquettes for on Yontav, because we assumed that it's the, because we put it together over here with the Asiyas Kli. So basically, even if it wouldn't be a problem of Asiyas Kli, when you do that, the way that they would use charcoal was for working with fine metals and getting the heat that you require to melt gold and silver and so on. They didn't use charcoal for barbecue. So what exactly were you planning to do with it on Yontav? Tani Rebbe Chiya, the point is that they did use charcoal to heat the bathhouses, because they needed a high level of heat to get the public baths hot enough. So it's talking about, he wanted to give them, so you were going to actually heat up the baths on Yontav, and therefore you were needed to do it on Yontav, which is Tzircha Chol Nefesh. What? You're not allowed to heat baths on Yontav. The only heter that we had to take a shower on Yontav, first of all, was only Aver. And secondly, it was only where it was heated from before, or where anyway the water's being heated for other usages that you need to have on Yontav. So Bo Bayom Mishori, you're not allowed to take a bath. We have the Isser that we made on Shabbos that applied also to Yontav, which is the Gezerah of Rechitza. No. It was starting over here that you were going to warm it up for the Shvitz. So all these Hasidim are coming early in the morning. They're going into the mikveh. It's a kalta mikveh. What are you supposed to do? You have to go into the Shvitz. This was before they made the Gzeir on the Shvitz. Remember, we had the different levels of the Gzeirs back in Masechet Shabbat. So this is Kedem Gzeira. Okay, so then that must be what it's talking about over here. Rav explained in another issue, but here's the same thing. Ochinami means to be making charcoal. And therefore, it's not Pashat, because it does have its use. Anyway, we're saying it's Asiyas Kli, but not because it would be Usher to use. And it's talking about before the Gezerah of using a Shvitz on Yontav. In Chot Chinat Aptilo B'Shnayim, and Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you can, if you're using a actual flame to do it, then that's okay. So explain to me what the difference is. According to Rav Yehuda, what is the difference between using a light in order to burn it into two places and using a pair of scissors? I don't understand. Why is it also with a pair of scissors? Because obviously we're saying, this is basically tikkun kli. You had a big thing, and now you need it to be the right size to have two ptilot, and you made it two ptilot. So, and if you use a flame, to do that, a flamethrower. Musk loves to use flamethrowers for anything, right? He would make the two psilos with a flamethrower. Why isn't that considered to be making with a kli to be misakin mana exactly? Tani Rebbe Chiya, of course it would be. That's not what it means. What it means is that if you've got a long wick that is in two separate lamps, so then when you light the middle, it doesn't look like you're trying to make two separate people. It just looks like you're lighting two lamps at once. So in the mele, you end up with two ptilot. That's where it's not a problem of tikkun mana. But in a chinami, doesn't mean you can hold the wick and then put a light to it in the middle. So it works out perfectly. Fine. So chotcha ba'ur, befish teineirot, when it's already in the other ends, obviously, or in the end, inside of two separate lamps. You're allowed to pull off, it's called trimming. You're allowed to trim a wick. In other words, you pull off the charcoal that gathered at the end, which makes it, as you know from your own experience, it makes it very darkish. So you can actually make it better on Yom Tov. My mochatim, you're saying you can trim it. You mean exactly what? Omer chanina bar shalmia, it means duya chushka. You take off the darkness. The darkness would be that piece of the wick that causes it to be dark, because it's unable to allow the taking of the oil and turning it into a gas. So because of that, it doesn't light brightly. Tani bar kapar. There's six different piskei halachas that were said binogea yontav in the dinim of a ptila. Three of them are chumras, and three of them are kulas. Now tell me, I'll tell you the three that are chumras, okay? First of all, ein godlin hatalach atchilo b'yontav, you're not allowed to twist it on yontav. Again, why this would be true, this is a problem because there's really two Yisurim over here, but to twist it should be an Yisur Tviya. But we're bringing it over here, you can't twist it because of part of the Inyonim of Tikkun Mana, but I mean, it's a more serious issue, one would think. Okay, but again, this is like not exactly the Sugya, so you certainly are not allowed to twist it, and you're not allowed to put it into a fire to make a little top, that little dark piece on top, which makes it easier to singe it, basically. So you can't singe it in a fire. And you can't cut it, which we just said, you can't cut it into two parts. Those are the chumras. Now here's the three piskei halachas lahakel. You are allowed to be mema'achah biyad, so if it was already done, but again, as you know from Hanukkah, when you make this, sometimes it's like the cotton expands so much that it doesn't burn properly, so you have to squeeze it together, rub it between your fingers in order for it to be tight enough to be a good p'tila. So that you could do. You can be ma'acha b'yad. You can stick it into oil so that it absorbs the oil before you need to light it. And you can cut it if the other ends are in two separate lamps. You can cut, light the middle, and end up with two separate p'tilot. Now, getting back to Rav Nosson Bar Abba. So Rav Nosson Bar Abba said that you are allowed to trim the wick. So Amar Rav Nosson Bar Abba, Amar Rav. You should know, all these rich guys in L.A., they're all going to hell. It actually doesn't say L.A. He says above them. So I guarantee you they're all going to hell. Now, how do I know? Because I can tell you, I know what kind of people they are. It's a little bit of a generalization. They are the Shabtai Bar Marinas. Here came poor Shabtai Bar Marinas, and he was visiting the town of Bavo. And so he asked people, he said, listen, I don't have any, I don't have a job. So if somebody would be willing to allow me to go around and sell things for them, and then I'll split some of the profit with them. It's good for them. It's good for me. That's called an iska. So give me an iska. Nah, lo yave, I refuse to give it. Okay, so then if you're not going to give me a parnasa, at least give me something to eat. Nope, I wouldn't give him anything to eat. So he said, man, oh man, these guys must all be from the Erev Rav. They couldn't be Jewish, for sure. So then that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the Mida of Rachamim. That's right, Natan Lecha Rachamim. He will give you midas harachamim that you should be like your avos, because then it goes on to say, mishnishpal avosecha. So apparently, kol amarachem al abriyot, it's clear that he must be mizaro shel Avram Avinu, because that's where all of it comes from, that he was the one who started off the Gedorim of Chesed. V'chol mi she'eno marachem al abriyais, biyadua she'eno mizaro shel Avram Avinu. He obviously cannot be a direct descendant of Avram Avinu. The Rambam actually brings this halacha in two places, in Megabe Yontem, in the Dinim of Tzedakah, and in the Dinim of Mesaniyim. And he says that somebody who acts like this, he actually paskins, they have to be cheshesh for his yichus, because it's not the derech of Bnei Yisrael to have no rachami. The Omer of Nasim Baraba Omerab, kol ha-mitzapeh al shulchan acherim, olam chashuch ba'adam. Somebody who can only survive because he's invited to someone else's table, it's as if he lives in a dark world. Shunamar, nodeidu lalechem aye, a guy who has to wander around, not knocking on doors, and asking, where is there bread available? Lechem means not literally bread, obviously, but where is there something to eat? Yada ki nachon biyada yom choshech. He knows already that day of darkness, which is death, is right there. So that's why Rav Chisda says, that kind of life is not a life, because he's always in the presence of ultimate darkness. Tana Rabbanan. There's actually three people whose lives are not considered to be a real life. We just listed one of them. Hamitzapeh l'shulchan chaviro. So he has to eat at someone else's table. Umishi ishto moshalat ala. Someone whose wife bosses him around, and she rules over him. So he doesn't have his own life. Umishi yisurin moshli megufo. And somebody whose body is so completely taken over by pain that he can't, he can't do the things that he wants to do. Body all aching and erect with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bell. Get a little drunk and you'll land in jail. Anyways, it's bad news. And therefore, if you're out of character, you don't have a life of your own. So then that's like not having a life. A guy who only has one beget to wear, therefore he can't take off his clothes to wash them in the washing machine, they are going to end up getting filled with lice. How are you going to live with those kind of clothes? Why did Tana Kamen include that? I mean, it's no life to be eaten alive by lice. So, no, but still, Tana Kamen says, I mean, you can get rid of lice even if you can't take off your clothes. I mean, you could still be ma'ayin b'mane. You check the clothing and you take the lice out to make sure that they don't reproduce there. Okay, we're ready for our dear Richie, who's talking about a lot of mitzvahs here.
I could help thinking of an old television, one of those things, She Who Must Be Obeyed. Yeah. Rumble of the Bailey?
Yes, yes. So, other issues that are nogea, eating, and yet nonetheless are considered to be osur. And here we would get in, of course, in certain of these cases, as we'll see, to the question whether makshiri or echol nefesh are going to be mutter. And ein shavrim et acheres, ein chotchin et aniyar litzlot bo maliach. Now they had open fires with a grate, so it's like a barbecue, and the small fish that they would often barbecue, you couldn't put on the grate because they would fall through the grate. So there were two ways of handling that problem. Either they would take paper and put water on the paper so that it wouldn't burn up right away. Put the fish on the paper. Put the paper on the grating, or they would take a broken piece of earthenware, a shard, and use it. It was like small, so it didn't prevent the flame from coming around to actually cook the fish. You can't do either of those things in order to roast a salted fish on it. And we'll see why. The Engor Fim Tanur Vekirayim. Again, remember the way the tanur was in those days. The tanur had an opening on top. When you put in bread, you put the bread around the sides. And what would often happen is that what you had around the edge of the tanur, which would always be re-cemented so that you would get a flat surface, would often collapse into the bottom of the tanur. So if you had lined it with small bricks, sometimes a half brick would fall out, fall down to the bottom of the tanur, or you would get a lot of dirt and cement at the bottom of the tanur. So, ein gorfim tanur vikirayim, you can't shovel it out on yontev, and that would be also considered to be tikkun mona. Now, obviously, this is going according to the shita that makshirei echol nefesh are osur. Aval mechapshin, what you could do is you could put in something to press down the junk at the bottom of the tanur so that at least it doesn't stick up into the area where the bread is going to be around the edges, and the bread won't come into contact with the junk. That you can do. You just can't dig everything out and take it out of the tanur. And what you also cannot do, and we talked about this in Shabbos, about cooking things like this, ein makifin shtei chaviyot lishpot aleihem et hakdira. So if you don't have a stove, what you could always do is you take two containers, put them near each other, and then you put a fire between the two containers, and then you put the pot on top of the fire, supported on either edge, as we had in Kalim. Remember, we talked about this type of arrangement in Kalim in many different ways. So you cannot put the two barrels next to each other in order to put a pot on top of them. Again, because it looks similar to Asiyas HaOyel, because you're going to be putting the pot on top of it. And you cannot support a pot using a piece of wood so that it doesn't fall over. Now, why is that? Because the question of the usability of wood is a big problem on Yontif. Because normally, wood, raw pieces of wood, are used for doing things you're not allowed to do on Yontif. you're making things, building things, making kelim and so on. So the only heter that the Rabbanan gave you for moving wood on Yontev is for burning, because you need it for cooking. So that is called the idea of wood being roi for hasaka, is that Eitzim are only roi lahasaka on Yontev, according to the Shita. Therefore, you can't use it for doing support of a pot, v'chein bedelet. Now, it sounds like it means you can't cook the pot on top of the door. The Gemara says, that's crazy. I mean, it's great for a trap, you know, if you want to get the teacher with the pot, but it doesn't make any sense. So in the end, the Gemara says, what the Mishnah really means is you can't support a pot and you can't support the door, to hold the door open, because you don't use wood for anything. It's only roi for hasaka. You can't take a stick on Yontif and use it even to, you know, hit the back of the animal with. You can't do this. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, however, is matir, because he holds that Eitzim. We'll see. Even Shalola Asaka, we'll get into that in the Gemara. So why did we say that you're not allowed to break a kli that is made out of junky cheres in order to use it for cooking on top of an open grate and to make sure that the fish doesn't fall through? Why not? My time, huh? Because basically you can't do either of those. If you cut the paper osu, you're being mitakein mana. And what about shoveling out the oven or the stove? Tanu Rabbi Yosef Ben Rabbi Nachman. Let me tell you something. If there'd be no way to bake at all unless you shovel the whole thing out, then you absolutely are allowed to. Now, this obviously is going on Libra Rabbi Yehuda, because now it becomes Makshirei Yoichel Nefesh, and since I'm not going to be able to eat unless somebody hollows this out, Libra Rabbi Yehuda, it's completely mutter. So even though you're moving things that are muktzah, and even though it looks like tikkun mana, remember that we've seen before Tosfos, this is yet the fourth place that Tosfos brings this point, even from Makshiri Yachon Nefesh Vada Libet Reb Yehuda, you're allowed to move muktzah. And we have exactly a maisa like this, because Reb Chiya's wife, Nafala Aricha B'Tanur B'Yomatava, one of the bricks that was, Aricha is a half brick, that was lining her oven, fell into the bottom of the oven. And Reb Chiya said there, now listen here, don't give me any chumras, okay? I know you pick up all these chumras from your dad. I don't want any chumras, because I like very good bread. And if you're going to bake this bread, and you leave all the junk in there, and it's going to come into contact with that piece that's sticking up into the middle of the oven that you refuse to remove because of your chumras, I'm going to have lousy bread, and I like good bread. So remember, Ana rifta malyata be'ina, we had this sugya earlier. Omele Rava l'shame, and Rava told his servant, Tveli bar avza, I want you to make a delicious roast goose for me. And just remember, izdair mecharucha, be careful, it doesn't come into contact with any superheated things that are sticking up from the bottom. Get rid of them before. So as both of them were being matir, the removal of Libet Reb Yehuda of anything that had fallen into the oven, because Makshirei Yoichel Nefesh are mutter. Omer Ravina Rav Ashi. Yeah, I heard the craziest thing. Rav Acha Mihutzel, he told us, this is similar, this is Rav Acha Mihutzel, that he is Matir, you sir, in other words, you, Ravashi, that the Mar Sharkim Etanu Abiyumatava, that he heard that you will use actual mud to cover over the mouth of the oven so that no air gets in. Because remember, we learned back in Shabbos that the question was, they used to seal up the door to prevent opening when it was still roasting, because if air would get in, so then it would ruin the roast. And we were going to be semech on that, that there was no way that you were going to open it before it was finished, and therefore you wouldn't come to be chay to be kachol. And remember the whole sugya. So I heard that on Yontev, you actually do that. Omar Lay, we don't make the mud, obviously. I mean, what he was asking is, how are you allowed to make mud? That's called gibor. That's called, it's a toldo v'lash, right? You're not allowed to make anything that is similar to the lisha of a doe. Amalei, we don't make it. Anana rakta de Prat Samchina. We live right at the edge of the Prat River, and everything is very muddy there, so we just take some of the mud. And of course, Animili, that's true, but only when you set aside the mud from yesterday and you had put it aside to use. Okay, so who did Sairi? Mietamo? So you basically marked it from yesterday that this is the mud that was taken out already. So I already took it out. I didn't make a hole on Yontav. I took it out before Yontav and I set it aside to use it. That's where it's mutter.
Omrevi.
Huh?
I stood on it. I stood on the mud of the Prat, and I was tevel in the Prat. I'm just reminding Rabbi. We haven't been my neighbor for a while, so.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. The Prat is in Barnea's neighborhood. Barnea's neighborhood. It's in his neighborhood. Wonderful. I think that's what it was called. It's a wonderful day, right? Isn't that how he always starts?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
There we go. Now, everybody has to know that Barnea actually comes from Squirrel Hill, right? And that's where that whole insane stuff comes from, right there in Squirrel Hill. So anybody who saw the movie of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that was Barnea's house in the upper right-hand corner. So it's understandable. If you were born in Squirrel Hill, you'd be talking like a squirrel too. So don't blame. Don't blame Barnea. Omravina, ashes is okay. So Rashi learns ashes is okay because there's no way to be lush ashes. All that happens is it makes dark water, but it doesn't really create a lisha. Tosis brings raya that there are possibilities of lisha with kitma, but it's not usable for binyan. Okay, ema kifish techavia. The next thing we said, you can't bring two barrels in order to put a pot on top of them, and Amar of Nachman, but you could do the equivalent in making a toilet. As you say, you have avanim shel beta kise. So what you would have in those days, of course, is an area that people would use as toilets. And then you would basically manufacture on the spot a little toilet for yourself. So you'd have one brick on one side, one brick on the other side, one brick on that way. You're able to sit down on top of it and have basically a portable toilet. So that you're allowed to put on their side. Mutar letzadad on biyomtov. That you could do. Eitvei Rabba Lord Nachman. So when Rabbi Nachman said that, Rabba asked him, what about the barrels? Lechora, it's exactly the same, and the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that on Yontav. Ein mekifin shtei chaviyot tishpot aleihem atak deira. So why are you allowed to put these bricks next to each other to form a toilet and then to sit down on top of the toilet? If you can't position them, then the barrel you can't position, so you can't position the venim either. Omar lei, what's the comparison? Said Rav Nachman. In the case in our Mishnah, Shani Asa, Mishum Dekavid Ola, over there, you're going to be covering the two barrels with the pot, but your rear end is not a pot, and therefore it is not considered to be making an ohel. All you're doing is making an open area, and that is not similar to Asiyos Ohel. What, says Rabbi Zutta Ravashi, what kind of difference is that? Well, I understand. Are you allowed to build things? No. So could you build a chair? Like, let's see, you want to take these bricks and you want to build a chair. So you're telling me, Bona itstupo b'yontav? Let's say you want to build a shelf or a chair on Yontav. That you're allowed to do because you're not making an oil. Well, since when is the shape of an oil specifically the issue in building? I mean, you're not allowed to build, period. No, says Ravashi. Yeah, it's true. The issue is not the difference of the top that you're putting the kli on top of the barrel. The point is that over there, hatam in our Mishnah, binyan keva asra Torah. The Torah only asered a permanent building. Binyan arai lo asra Torah. So you're definitely not involved in an isra d'oraisa. Now the Rabbanan were gozer even a binyan arai, because they were afraid people will come. If you're allowed to make a binyan arai, you may make a binyan keva. However, for purposes of human dignity, over there, the Rabbanan, we're not going there. Mishum kvayda, lo gazer b'Rabbanan. Look, it's bad enough to be a human being who has to use a bathroom. I mean, to make tzoras and going to the bathroom, forget it. That the Rabbanan are not going to do. So because of that, it's kvayda adam, not to have to worry about how to get yourself a toilet on Yom Tov. Omer Rav Yehuda, there's other issues that are very nogea in terms of how they look like binyan, and the Rabbanan answered them, even though they were very much a binyan arai. For instance, suppose you want to build a, Richie, what's the name, what's the word for a stacked fire structure? What do you call that? You know, where you put the logs in a particular way that they should be easy to burn?
Yeah.
You do it all the...
Can't remember. Yeah,
okay, but there's a particular...
There's a word, definitely.
There's a particular word for stacking wood in a way that creates maybe a pyre.
Pyre?
Maybe a pyre, Ari suggested, maybe. Anyway, but you, the way that that's done is you actually build like a little building with it. You put up the walls, and you put a top on it, and then you put the flame on the inside. And that keeps the heat in it, and everything sort of bursts into flame. So you can only do that on Yom Tov if you do it with a shinui. So how do you do it with a shinui? You build it top down. So somebody holds the top up while you stuff the piece of wood on the side. And that way, it's not at all like the normal way to build something. Milamata lamala, however, to build it bottom up, that you're not allowed to do, because that would be the way that you normally build. So therefore, you have to make a shinui. The same thing is true about eggs. Because if, let's say what you want to do is you have a tripod. The tripod's got a little circle on top. And in that circle, you put the egg. So don't put the egg on the tripod on the fire. What you could do, you could have a tripod with egg that is not part of it. You put the whole thing on the fire. Yes, that you can do. Same thing is true about a pot. So again, don't put the barrels, like we said. But you can hold the pot up and then slide the barrels under the pot. That, the Mishnah didn't answer. The same thing is true about a puria. You want to open up a bed where you're going to make a bed on Yom Tov by having the top and then putting something underneath to be the legs of the bed. Have somebody hold the top and then put the legs underneath, because otherwise it's going to be similar to binyan. And the same thing is true about a chavita. This refers to not the case of the barrels with the pot. This refers to a case of barrels that you're stacking up in a room. So what inevitably happens is that some of the barrels are stacked in the area between the other two barrels. So you end up with a binyan. So basically, you have to have somebody hold up the upper barrels while somebody else slides in the lower barrel. And then you don't get into trouble. And then we said you can't be semech a kedera with a bakat. And it seems like it's saying, or with a door. Come on, you got to be kidding. What do you mean, or with a door? I mean, that, again, the only thing that is good for is to make sure somebody you don't like very much is going to get hit with that pot. I mean, what else is the point of putting it on top of a door? You got to be kidding. Bedelet salgadaita, you can't mean that. No, I mean, v'chein hadelet, meaning in the same way you can't support a pot, you can't support the door with a piece of wood for the same reason, because Eitzim are only roi on Yom Tov for hasaka, not for any other purpose. Tana Rabbana, ein sumchinat hakedera bebakat, v'chein hadelet. You see, the Braita makes it very clear. Yes, it means the same thing. You cannot support a door. And here is the yesod, the fishalonit nu Eitzim, ela lahasaka. So since the Chachomim asked, because they're very nervous about it. It's a very unusual thing, right? Because, I mean, normally either something is muktzah or it's not muktzah. But over here, Rashi says that the idea is that since wood is almost always used for doing something usur in terms of binyan and some type of construction, so the Rabbanim really wanted to usur it, except that you can't, because, I mean, you need to use wood for firewood. And because of that, they said only use wood for firewood. That's the shita. that long it knew it seemed Elalasa come in Rabbanan. But of course Rabbi Shimon is matir, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's bechlal no such thing as mukta, and therefore there should be no problem. You can do whatever you want with things. So he never extended these big issues. And you're not allowed to use it. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon is matir. But why? Is that because he is going according to Shita of his dad? Lema Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Shimon. We just saw what Rabbi Shimon says. There's no problem. Why? Because he doesn't hold lo nitnu etzim al asaka, because Rabbi Shimon is making when it comes to mukta. So does that mean Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon holds to that? Not necessarily, says the Gemara. No. Because in this particular issue, the issue that you think that the last piece about not using the piece of wood for using it to hit an animal, to take it, to guide it, you thought the issue is mukta, but there's another problem that's involved. And that's the issue over here. Lo, in this case, even Rabbi Shimon is meida that it could be ozer. Mishum de mirzei kabanda ozer lechinda. It also looks like you're doing the dance. We call it a dance because when you go to market, it's like everybody's going around and dancing around and showing off their wares. So it looks, it could be that Rabbi Shimon in this case would hold its usher even not because of mukta. And therefore he may not agree with his own son here. So it's not just the question of Rabbi Shimon agrees with his father. It's also that he doesn't hold that there's a chashash, that it looks like people are going to market. What about a chizra? A chizra is a sharp piece of wood. It fell off as a branch. Can you use a sharp piece of wood? Reb Nachman says, no, it was not a kli before Yontif, so it's mukta. You're making it now into a kli. Reb Shesha says, no, it's mutter. Now look, if you're talking about a branch that is still damp, so everybody's meida, and in that case, for sure, it's usher, because you wouldn't be able to use it in a fire, because it's damp. So you'd have to wait until it dried. So, okay, so there, you can't use it at all, so it remains mukta. The question is, if it's usable for a fire, can it memela be used as a spit? So, kipliga be a vishta. The machlokas is if it's dried out. Reb Nachman, who asserted, he would say, look, did we or did we not just pass it before lo nitnu etzim el alasaka? Fine. So this is exactly that case. You're not burning it. You're spitting it. You can't do that. Whereas Rav Shesha says, listen, listen. It's all very nice. I understand. But what does it mean when it says you can use it for the fire? It means you can put it underneath the meat that you're cooking, the chicken you're about to cook, right? So, okay, you could put it underneath and heat the chicken. That's what it means. So what do I care whether you're using this piece of wood to roast it or you're using it to roast it as a spit? What's the difference whether you're roasting with it directly or you're roasting it with the pieces that have now been charcoaled by roasting? It's the same thing. So Mali Litzlot Bo as a spit or Mali Litzlot Begachalto. I mean, you have to think of the idea. You don't just say words because you can't use it except for fires. I mean, but for fires mean for cooking. So spitting it is cooking it. Ikidding, I mean, others say that actually it's different. If it was dried, everybody agrees that it's mutter for exactly this reason. I mean, what do I care? But the question over here is where it was not dried. So Rav Nachman, who said, well, you're not allowed to. That's because you can't use it now for kindling. So if you can't use it for kindling, you can't use it for spitting either. Whereas Mandashari, Rav Sheshish would say, look, it's like we saw before. Even if you have things that are sort of dampish, they are still chozi lehesegoto. You can take those things, you can put them into a big fire. You know, like we do on Erev Pesach. So people throw all kinds of insane things into these big fires to supposedly burn their chometz, you know, because ultimately it dries out and eventually it burns by the middle of Pesach. But anyway, so if you have a hesed gadol, so then it would be okay. And the halacha, the maisa, is that if it's dry, you can use it even as a spit. But if it's retifta, then it's osur. Now, as Rashi points out, this is not true according to us. This halacha is not true. because Lamaisa, this halacha, is all going according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of Muktzah, therefore holds that Eitzim Elochazi Elalah Hasaka. And because of that, when it comes to the issue of Muktzah, none of this is true, because the Gemara was only saying it, Alibet Rabbi Yehuda. But we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that we don't hold of Muktzah, except for a very special Muktzah, because Machas Chisar and Kis and so on and those things. Fine. But, so for us, that's not true. And furthermore, the second part also is answering it because it's going according to the Shita of the Rabbanan, who hold that Makshire Ochel Nefesh are Osir. But we paskin that Makshire Ochel Nefesh are Mutter, because in this, we actually go Alibet Rabbi Yehuda. And what's worse is that we also paskin like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a Dover Shedim is Kavin is Mutter. So therefore, every single thing that we said before is wrong. It's actually not La Halacha. So Tain is Rashi. Okay, we'll get it a little bit. It's a little bit late. So we'll wait for the Halacha L'maisa tomorrow. But anyway, it's fascinating how like every last issue is actually different Bizman Hazza. Okay, sorry for keeping you, but it's, we managed to get in a little bit under the wire. So we went from Lamala Lamata, which is under the wire, and that would be okay. And there's no chashash of Tikkun Kli over here. So we were okay. Hine El Yeshua Si, Eftach, Velo Efchad, Barnea would like to take us all to the banks of the Nahar Prat to share Squirrel Hill with him, or to share his other neighborhood with him.
I just want to protest. I'm from Eretz Yisrael. I grew up in Squirrel Hill. Moshe Rabbeinu Shama Ish Mitzri B'Shasak. I avoid being from Eretz.
Very good. When I said from, I meant born. Chas v'shalom, obviously. Barnea is Kulay Eretz Yisrael in every possible way. Okay. All right, may we hear Besurot Tovot, one from another, and for Klal Yisrael as a whole, this week, and maybe even tonight. Kol Tov, Laila Tov, everyone. Thank you so much for coming.